You are listening to a message from New Life Fellowship. We hope you are blessed and encouraged from today's talk.
Jesus Christ, God the Father, the Holy Spirit, God of wonders. Everybody say it together. God of wonders. We have the privilege this morning of being in the presence of God of wonders. He is the creator of everything. Nothing without Him has been made. No means of measure can define His limitless love. No barrier can hinder Him from pouring out His blessing. He is indescribable. He is incomprehensible. He is inescapable. He is invincible. He is irresistible. He is irrefutable. He is God Almighty. He is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God the three in one. And everybody said, amen to that. So David gets his quill and he gets a bottle of ink and he is inspired by the Holy Spirit to pen some words of the majesty and the greatness and the awesomeness of God. And as he begins to write some words that we would be reading in the 21st century, words that still resonate within our heart, that are so fresh and so anointed by God, he gives to us words that lift our hearts and lift our souls and lift our spirits during down times and during up times. And he begins to write some words that we're going to look at this morning. Pastor Dane spoke to us a couple months ago, and he said in our staff meeting that we are going to be going through the power of one. We're going to be going through the Psalms during the summer. And as we go through the Psalms and we contemplate that chapter on a daily basis, and then one verse out of that particular chapter, find a verse that resonates with you. And as you find a verse that resonates with you, listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit as he begins to speak. And so Dane said to me a few weeks ago, he said, hey, Michael, I'd like for you to preach on the 28th on one of the Psalms that we have already gone through. And so I said, oh, I would love to do it. And unbeknownst to me, that he didn't know he was going to be in surgery this past Thursday and that he wasn't going to be here. So the timing worked out really good. And as I looked at the Psalms that we had already gone through, there was a psalm that resonated within my heart, and that is Psalm chapter 8. So if you have your Bible, if you have your iPad, if you have your phone, Android, whatever, if you will take it out, open up the Word of God, look at Psalm chapter 8. Psalm chapter 8, it says this. It says, verse 1, O Lord our God, the majesty and glory of your name fills all the earth and overflows the heavens. And you say, well, that's a good verse. But as I read that verse, something came over me. And that is this. David, he goes on to the next verse. And he says this. When I look up into the night skies and see the work of your fingers. Stop right there. When I look up into the night sky, I think this. I think it was evening because I look up into the night sky. Doesn't take somebody really smart to deduct that. I think that David was seated when he wrote this psalm. And so if you would allow me this morning to join with what you're doing, I two would like to sit and put myself in the position that I think David was in. And David, he was seated. And something else happened, I think. Because the verse says, when I look up, when I look up into, and he's got his quill. When I look up into the night skies and see the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars that you have made, I cannot understand how you can bother with mere puny man to pay attention to me. I am puny, Lord, when I look up into the sky and I look at the universe and the Milky Way and I see all of these stars and I see all of these shooting stars and shooting asteroids and the moon and the greatness of the sky, the heavens that you, O Lord, have created. And then David, he'll write another psalm a few chapters later. And it is in Psalm 19, verse 1. And Psalm 19, verse 1, he says this, and I believe he was still sitting in his comfy chair with the drink. He says this, "The heavens are telling the glory of God. They are a marvelous display of his craftsmanship." I love what I'm looking at here. I love, Lord Jesus, when I look up into the heavens and I see the marvelous display of your craftsmanship. Day and night, they keep telling of God. David has to dip in there and get more pen, more ink for his quill. Day and night, they keep telling about God without a sound or word, silent. Listen to this, silent in the skies, their message reaches out to all the world. I love that. The sun lives in the heavens where God placed it. God placed it there. It didn't happen with a big bang. It happened because God placed the sun there. And it moves out across the skies as radiant as a bridegroom going to his wedding, or as joyous as an athlete looking forward to a race. Just as that athlete gets excited about a race, so, oh Lord, do I get excited when I look at the grandeur of what you have created for me. And then he writes another psalm, and oh, I am so glad that David kept writing these psalms because I love where I'm at right now. Psalm 33 says this, verse 6, "The Lord merely spoke, and the heavens were created. He breathed the word." He breathed the word, "and the stars were born." Isn't that just awesome and powerful? That when everybody look up right now. Everybody look up. and see all the lights that you're looking at right now. And if you were on this side where I'm at, there's about 20 lights up here as well. There's lights all over this place here. And if each one of those lights represented a star, if each one of them represented a star, one of them represented the sun, one represented the moon, God breathed them into life. And I love it. If you would join me now for the next few moments, watch as Louis Giglio describes the indescribable God that you and I have the privilege of worshiping.
The story of it in a nutshell was that the heavens are telling the glory of God. Their expanse declares the work of his hands. In other words, all you have to do is look up and you see the size of the God that we're worshiping tonight. We ended that, just a little review, with this galaxy right here, the Whirlpool Galaxy. You're like, man alive, we're talking about astronomy at a Christian worship service. Why not? The God that we're worshiping tonight is the one who created that right there. It's called the darling of astronomy. The reason why is it's sitting completely perpendicular to us on Earth. And when we look up at it, we get this beautiful view. But check this out. The Whirlpool Galaxy is 31 million light years away from where you're sitting right now. Okay, they got nothing in here tonight. 31 million light years away. That's just the first little thing we got to catch up with tonight. By the way, the story opens like this, in case you forgot. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And that was a phenomenal moment when that happened, because light came out of the mouth of God traveling 186,000 miles a second. That's how fast light is traveling through the universe. And so a light year, therefore, is how far light travels in 1 year. And I'll do the math for you. It's 5.88 trillion miles is a light year. So as we talked about before, when you start to get around in the neighborhood of God, the mile is not going to help you. The yardstick, the ruler, the tape measure, these things are of no value in the universe that God has made. We're using a ruler called a light year that's 5.88 trillion miles long. And if you'd like to go to the Whirlpool Galaxy, be my guest. All you have to do is multiply 31 million, that's how many light years it is away, by 5.88 trillion miles, and that's the distance that you've got to cover. Anybody with me so far? I'm wondering, are there any science lovers here tonight? Because we're going to have a little scientific content tonight, and I need to know if anybody's going to be with me so far. So you do the math, or you could look at it a different way. You just have to travel 186,000 miles a second for 31 million years, and voila, you will arrive at the Whirlpool Galaxy. Second thing that's pretty stunning, given that our God made that, is it contains 300 billion stars in that one galaxy, 300 billion stars. And it is one of hundreds of billions of other galaxies in the known universe that God has made. And it just reminds us all over again tonight, man, this God that we're singing to tonight, he's enormous. He's bigger than anything we've ever dreamed of. He's bigger than our wildest imagination of him. But we ended by looking inside that thing, and this is pretty stunning. Those of you who've seen it remember, but the Hubble Space Telescope is circling the Earth at 360 miles above the Earth, and it takes amazing images of these galaxies and other phenomena of the cosmos, and it looked into that white core of the Whirlpool Galaxy, and lo and behold, there is a black hole in there. And we'd never seen it before until Hubble could take an image of it, and I found this on NASA's site, hubblesite.org. This is what Hubble sent back to us from 31 million light years away from the black hole core of the Whirlpool Galaxy. They send us back this image right here, and it's just crazy. It's crazy. It's the glory of God, the grandeur of God. It's the grace of God and the mercy of God everywhere we look. It's the imprint of God in all of creation, everywhere we turn. And tonight we just want to begin with the bigness of God, the grandeur of God all over again. We're going to do it by looking at four stars. Can you handle four stars tonight? The first one's easy because there's just one star in our solar system, and that star is called the Sun. Thank you very much. Yes, it's our own star. There's an image of it for you, by the way. It's a little more fierce than we often think. It's 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit on the surface, but what I want you to see about it is how big it is. It's 93 million miles away, so when you're looking up in the sky, it's pretty good pace out there. By the way, light traveling 186,000 miles a second, it's only taken 8 minutes to cover that 93 million mile journey to touch your skin here in Atlanta, Georgia. But what I want you to see is the size of it. It's like a million times the size of the earth, and that matters to us tonight when you hear what the psalmist said. Listen to his words. By the word of the Lord, this is Psalm 33, the heavens were made. In other words, God didn't lift a finger when he made the universe. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. But he goes on to say, their starry hosts by the breath of his mouth. So we're looking at something so intense that we don't want to get any closer than 93 million miles away, which is what we are right now. And then we read that God just breathes out stars. It's crazy to think about it. A million times the size of the earth. So here's a little perspective that sort of changed my life. If the earth were the size of a golf ball, okay, the sun would be 15 feet in diameter. Okay, that didn't seem to move anybody either, so let me try it a different way. Let me just try it just a different way. I thought I might need this, so I brought a golf ball, okay? So all through the evening, this is going to represent Earth, all right? So this is where we are. I need everybody in the building to look as closely as you can and find yourself, okay? And when you found yourself, I want you to nod your head so that I know you've located you on the Earth, okay? You're nodding your head? Okay, you found yourself. If the Earth were a golf ball, the sun would be 15 feet in diameter. That's not 15 feet in diameter. Can we blow that up just a hair and maybe give them 15 feet in diameter? So here's a little perspective for you, okay? Is this working for anybody? Here we are on the Earth, and that's the sun. It's so big. It's so big, you could put 960,000 Earths inside the sun. So if the Earth were a golf ball and the sun were 15 feet in diameter, you could put 960,000 golf balls inside that 15-foot diameter sun. That's enough golf balls, by the way, because I know that seems like a big number, to fill a school bus with golf balls could fit inside the 15-foot diameter sun. It's a massive star, and it's one of hundreds of billions of stars in the Milky Way galaxy, our cul-de-sac in the neighborhood called the cosmos that God has made. It's huge, and we're worshiping a star-breathing God tonight. But I want to tell you about the second star, okay? Because the second star absolutely wrecked my life. I heard about it when I was a high school student here in Atlanta. One of our youth leaders did a talk, and he mentioned this star. I didn't know how to talk to God for about 2 months after I heard about this star. It's called Betelgeuse or Betelgeuse. You can pick your pronunciation. I'm obviously going with Betelgeuse. And Betelgeuse is incredible. Here it is in the night sky. I know it doesn't look incredibly ferocious, but it's 427 light years away. So that's 427 times 5.88 trillion miles away from us right now. Draw it in a little closer with the Hubble Space Telescope, and you can start to get a little bit of the feeling of its intensity. But this is the crazy thing about Betelgeuse. Are you ready for this? Betelgeuse is twice the size. Are you ready? You think I'm going to say twice the size of the sun? Oh, no. It's twice the size of the Earth's orbit around the sun, Betelgeuse is. It's crazy. If the Earth were a golf ball, Betelgeuse would be the height of six Empire State Buildings on top of each other. Now, come on. Have you seen the Empire State Building? I mean, maybe what you're going to need to do is gather the family, get a golf ball, get some plane tickets, and fly up to New York. And you're going to go into Midtown. You're going to take your golf ball and put it on the sidewalk outside the Empire State Building. Don't worry about people thinking you're crazy. They're not even going to notice you in New York. You're going to go across the street. You're going to look up at the Empire State Building and imagine five more Empire State Buildings on top of the Empire State Building. That's Betelgeuse, and that's the Earth, and somewhere you're on it. You could fit 262 trillion Earths inside Betelgeuse. So if the earth were a golf ball, that would be enough golf balls to fill up the Superdome with golf balls. 3,000 times. When I heard that as a teenager, that stumped me right there. Because most of my praying had been advising God, correcting God, suggesting things to God, drawing diagrams for God, reviewing things with God, counseling God. The third star, can you go a little bit bigger with me? The third star is called Musifi. Here it is in the night sky. It's that gold star to the top left. We have the big image of it. It's 3,000 light years away, but I just want you to see it in the span of all these little glittering stars so that you know that at times when you look up at night, it is not just twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. I'm telling you what you are. What you are is intense and huge and massive and ferocious is what you are. And this one used to be called Herschel's Garnet Star. Check it out. If the earth were a golf ball, Musifi would be the width of two Golden Gate bridges end to end. Apparently, you're going to need to go from New York to the West Coast. Go to San Francisco with your family and your golf ball. Place your golf ball at the beginning of the Golden Gate Bridge. Go across the bay into Oakland to a high place where you can see the entire Golden Gate Bridge. Another second Golden Gate Bridge will be in your imagination. Span all the way back the two Golden Gate Bridges to the very beginning and find your golf ball over there. That's the Earth, and somewhere you're on it, one of the stars in the Milky Way galaxy. It's so big you could fit 2.7 quadrillion Earths inside this one star. Thank you so much. Where have you been all night? Now, quadrillion we have not talked about, and I need to explain this just briefly because I don't know about you, but I do not understand the national debt or any numbers bigger than about $875.28. I get that number. Go bigger than that, I don't know. But you need to understand a quadrillion, okay, because this star is crazy big. A quadrillion, let's do it this way. Everybody knows a million, right? How many of you know what a million is? You can kind of get your head around a million. Everybody? All right. You know that a billion is 1,000 million and a trillion is 1,000 billion and a quadrillion is 1,000 trillion, right? Everybody knew that. Here's the perspective. This changed my life, right? A million seconds ago, 12 days ago. Isn't that cool? See, that saves you doing that on your little calculator at home, which I dare you to try to do when you get home tonight. But a billion seconds ago, you're thinking, oh my goodness, if it's 12 days ago, I'm going all the way back to like September with you, Louie. This must be crazy, right? How about May 1975 is a billion seconds ago? You're like, whoa, that's a little bit bigger than a million. Oh yeah. A trillion seconds ago, you're like, uh-huh, I'm on the 1800s. No. Christopher Columbus? No. 29,700 BC is a trillion seconds ago. A quadrillion seconds ago, 30,800,000 years ago is a quadrillion seconds ago. We're talking about a really large number, and Musifi is so big, you could put 2.7 quadrillion Earths inside this one star. But it is not even the biggest star we have found. I love science, and science has just brought us the largest star they found. It's called, are you ready for this? Canis Majoris. Now, I'm no linguist, but that's a cool name for the biggest star we've found so far. I think that means the big dog star, and that's exactly what it is. I bring it to you as a little bitty purple, you know, glow just to the right of center there. But Canis Majoris, oh, wow. If the Earth were a golf ball, Canis Majoris would be the height of Mount Everest. Thank you. You just saved your family plane fare from California to Kathmandu, Nepal. Almost 6 miles above sea level, the highest point on the planet, and I just dare you to get up there and unzip the parka and pull out your golf ball. You could fit 7 quadrillion Earths inside Canis Majoris. That's enough Earths, if the Earth were a golf ball, to cover the entire state of Texas in golf balls 22 inches deep. You see the one you're on? Maybe this will help a little bit more. This absolutely blew my mind. Just a little journey through our solar system. Everyone knows our planets and sort of how we fit in to the story here. You see really quickly that we're not even the biggest deal in our own solar system, but as Earth comes by, you have to know tonight that we are living on a privileged planet. Anyone would tell you we're living at one of the most special places, if not the most special place in all of creation. But Neptune comes by and Saturn and then Jupiter, and you're like, okay, we're not all that big, even in our own little cul-de-sac. I just noticed the blue dot fading away is not the Earth. That's Neptune. The Earth has gotten too small to see anymore. Sirius comes by. Little plug for satellite radio. Not the biggest star, but the brightest star that we have found so far. Pollux, which we didn't mention. Arcturus. Such a beautifully named one, Regal. But then the one that messed me up. Our third star, Musifi. Musifi's cousin, Wusifi. Majoris. And do you know that you couldn't come up here right now with a Sharpie and make a mark on the screen that would approximate the size of our sun? You couldn't even do it. I mean, when you look at these and their relative size, we just have to put a little arrow over there that says, if you could put the sun on here, which you can't, it would go somewhere about here. And can you hang on that for me? And when you see this, I don't know what happens to you, but I'll tell you what happens to me. A shrinking feeling comes over me, and it's not a bad shrinking feeling. It's a good shrinking feeling. Because sin, it has a way of shrinking God down in our minds and puffing us up in our own estimation. But just a glance into the universe that God has made resizes everything in a heartbeat. And you realize tonight we are worshiping an unrivaled, uncontested God of all kind of might and power and glory and awe, who is, there's none like him anywhere in all of creation tonight. We are not here worshiping some little teeny tiny God. We are the teeny tiny ones, you and me. We are small and weak and fragile and frail. We are, you and me tonight, one of 6.5 billion people on this little golf ball sized planet in this massive universe that God has made. But I'll tell you, the miracle of tonight is crazy, and crazier to me than the size of any star, is that though we are but a vapor, you and me, and tiny and frail, we are marked by majesty. And we have been created in the very image of the God who breathes out the stars and put the universe into place. You and I are fashioned and formed and ordained by the God of all creation. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, you and I.
Amen.
We are a miracle. You're a miracle sitting in the building tonight. If I could just remind you just for a moment, you are somebody incredibly special.
Can you say amen to that?
Yeah.
You are somebody
incredibly loud, special to God because He is the creator of everything. So if you are taking notes and you're following with us online, there are two takeaways before we dismiss this morning. First takeaway is this: attempting to explain the power of God, His vastness and greatness is indescribable. Amen. It's beyond us to describe the power and the vastness of God. I don't have this verse on the screen, but Psalm 147, verse 4 says this: He counts the number of the stars, and He gives names to them all. You know how many stars there are? And he counts them. Along with knowing everything about you, along with watching you and taking care of you and all the problems that you have, in his spare time, he counts stars. And then, when he gets tired of counting the stars, he names them. You know, after you, Jimmy and John and Sally and, you know, you run out of names, but not God. God not only counts them, but then He names them. And if you listen on the radio, there is the star registry where that you can pay $25, $50, whatever, and they'll send you a certificate in the mail, and they will name a star after you. Well, I've got news for you. That is illegal. Because God has already named the stars, and you can't rename the stars that He has already named. So cut it out. And the second thought is this: the pale blue dot emphasizes how really small and insignificant you and I are. However, you are of tremendous significance and value to God. And that is what I want you to leave here with today. I want you to leave here knowing that you are insignificant to all of the planets and to all of the stars and the Milky Way and the universe. You and I are insignificant as far as size, but to God, you and I are of great significance to Him. So, if this golf ball were the planet Earth, and you were to try and find yourself on this golf ball, do you think you could do it? What I would like for you to do this morning with me, would you please stand? You've been sitting a long time. This morning, I have a little gift that I would like to give to every one of you. A little memento so that you can take it with you. And you can look at that golf ball and you can say, I want to buy Pastor Michael a golf pass. You can look at that golf ball and the next time you think you might be insignificant, I want you to remember something. On that golf ball, you might want to put a little dot on it and just remind yourself that you are of great significance to God Almighty. And everybody said, amen.